Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please do not put in a call unless we specifically ask for a call, because we have with us tonight Bill Sardi, who is a health journalist who does help Radio Liberty stay on the air. And Bill, hi Bill, how are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Dr. Stan.
Well, what are we going to talk about this evening?
We can't let go of the Vioxx story. I only wish we could. This pain reliever, COX-2 inhibitor, anti-inflammatory drug, marketed, beginning of 1999 and 2000, put on the television, widely promoted, and of course, all spawned by an article in the New England Journal of Medicine at the time. And of course, even then it said that Vioxx had an increased risk of heart attack, but this was written off, dismissed, because it was compared against naproxen, another anti-inflammatory drug, which they said at the time was cardioprotective, protects the heart. So it meant that there wasn't really a real increased risk. It was just compared to another drug that already protected the heart. And so, as Dr. Eric Topol said, chairman of Cardiovascular Medicine Cleveland Clinic this past week, where did they dig up this information, Merck Drug Company, that naproxen was protective of any heart tissue? He says they pulled that out of a rabbit hat. There was nothing at all that ever said that. And, of course, they put this on the market knowing it was five times more dangerous, would increase the risk of a fatal heart attack by that much. So this is the kind of thing that they faced. Dr. Eric Topol, of course, speaking up for physicians, not too many did, and Merck facing 7,000 lawsuits, and Dr. Topol finding the actions of Merck, maker of Vioxx, repulsive and appalling in a three-hour videotape deposition this past week. And the scandal gets worse tonight. Forbes magazine reporting that Merck may have hidden more data, and what they find is in a deposition they had the editors of New England Journal of Medicine, of course, up before the court being deposed on this whole thing, because they originally published the first study. And what was revealed tonight is that the New England Journal of Medicine was given the data to publish both in a printed form and on a computer disk. They never looked at the computer disk and published what was on the paper. They went back and looked what was on the disk, and it was different than what was on the piece of paper. They've now called to task the writers, the authors of that original paper. And, of course, this is a doctor, Claire Bombardier is her name. She's the professor at the University of Toronto, and she can't be reached, refuses to respond, and apparently they didn't report all the data that was in this government-sponsored report. Now, they're only missing a few cases of deaths in this report, but it's a discrepancy, and of course that brings into question, they're asking the authors to retract, withdraw the paper.
Because this is a paper that was actually put out back in that, what, a year 2000?
Year 2000, of course. This was the big thing that got it on television, got all the publicity. The New England Journal of Medicine, terribly embarrassed.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Bill Sarney, and we're talking about Vioxx. And the great tragedy is, according to Dr. Graham's testimony, and that was in November of last year, Dr. David Graham, who is in charge of drug safety at one of the departments of the FDA, and of course, he risked his entire career by going before the Senate to testify, and his testimony, I believe, is in in one of our newsletters. I believe it's my April newsletter, but if you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, you can get the entire text of his testimony. And he says that there's certainly somewhere between 88,000 and 160,000 Americans had either a stroke or a heart attack, with 30 to 40% of those fatal, as a direct result of taking Vioxx, and they knew it was deadly, and they put it on the market anyway, and they simply concealed the truth, not only from the physicians of this country, but from the Federal Drug Administration. And but then, of course, as time went by, the FDA became complicit in this as well and concealed the information. And when he tried to, Dr. Graham tried to do something about that, he was ordered not to do it. In fact, he did studies that showed how dangerous it was. He was ordered not to publish them and not to go before any medical group and let the public realize that the drug that they were taking, put out by Merck, was going to kill many of them. So, I mean, it's an incredible, incredible story, Bill.
Well, it only continues, you know, it's disappointing. Many people apparently lost their lives. There were a lot of unnecessary heart attacks. These are all statistical deaths because we don't know which ones were the ones taking it until these people show up, say, my husband, my wife was taking this, and we lost their life, and they sue. So there's 7,000 cases that are known so far. And, of course, as we reported before, there have been two cases tried. Merck won one of them. Well, what they did was they went and got kind of a baseless case. A lot of people like to jump on top, hope to get a settlement and a check handed to them. And so Merck has won one from someone that really filed a worthless lawsuit. So that was all over the newspapers trying to drag the Merck stock up a little bit. And, of course, they're looking for a moral victory here. But they really face a tenuous future. Interesting that all of this continues to come out, because you'd have thought everything would have been uncovered by now, and yet here we're uncovering information, well, months, even years after the original problem. And we've got a full professor of medicine involved in incomplete disclosure of data from a clinical study. What in the world does this mean?
It means we can't trust some of the scientific studies. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bill is simply pointing out that many of the scientific papers that are published now in major journals are falsified because, of course, the doctors, are beholden to the drug companies. And when you have a doctor who's being financed by the drug companies or is dependent upon the drug companies for money for their research, and if you don't get the money, why, you can't do the research, and in the academia it's publish or perish, why, they very often color certainly manipulate their figures, not based upon science, but based upon selling a product. And this is the great tragedy. But when you're talking about literally billions of dollars, I think that they made about $11 billion last year on Lipitor. And certainly the last thing they want is the American people to know the truth about the statin drugs. Think what it would do to the price of the stock of these major drug companies if the public knew what the studies on Lipitor really show. So they don't, and they really don't know the studies on so many of the statin drugs show that there is no significant decrease in mortality if you take a person who doesn't have any known heart disease and put them on these drugs and keep them on them for a period of time. And it does not change the mortality. That one of them would be Crestor. In fact, we'll be glad to send anybody a copy of the page from the physician's desk reference where Crestor, one of the most popular, the most efficient of all these statin drugs, but there in very, very small print, they say there is no evidence that this drug influences cardiac morbidity or mortality. And most people would read that and not even know what they're talking about, but morbidity is heart disease, the other is mortality. This is not going to influence heart disease or dying from heart disease. take our drug anyway, because we tell you that it's good, and it's mighty good for the drug company.
Well, and Dr. Stan, this gets worse with these published papers, because this week in the London, the Observer, they're talking about, Procter & Gamble. And Dr. Aubrey Bloomson, a senior lecturer on bone metabolism, he had a drug for osteoporosis, but Dr. Bloomson's name is on two published papers, at least, regarding this drug for osteoporosis. But he's never seen the data that the paper was based on, and he never wrote the paper. It was ghostwritten by Procter & Gamble, and Procter & Gamble refuses to give him the data on which this was based.
And yet his name is on the paper,
on the paper. He's calling it scientific and research misconduct. Procter & Gamble denies this, says that it's a standard in the industry not to hand over all the data to the academics, it says.
Whose name is on the paper.
Is on the paper. So, you see, I'm only bringing this up because I know so many of us are loyal to our doctors, and we need to understand the jam they're in, too. They're not disingenuous often when they tell you things, but they may have been misled as well. So, that's what Dr. Eric Topol is saying, and I've been wondering when doctors were going to stand up against all this, and if it wasn't for Dr. Topol, I'd totally dismiss the medical profession.
Well, now, is that the drug you're talking about for osteoporosis, Fosamax? Because this is, if you look at the studies on that, you know, and they tell you how really great it is, but, you know, if you really analyze their studies, I mean, in one large group of women, I think it was a 0.5% had a hip fracture. If they didn't take the drug, and 0.2% had a hip fracture if they did take the drug. And yet they tell you, 11% increase or 75% or some ridiculous figure. You go in the difference between 0.5% and 0.2%.
It simply means 99 out of 100 will get no benefit. You really ought to try taking Fosamax sometime. You're going to start experiencing very deep bone pain. And this week I got an interesting phone call from a lady who began to take a fish oil product. And I do take questions and provide answers here for three different dietary supplement companies on my telephone. And she left a message that she was suing one company. She had already sent out the bottle of fish oil for testing because she had a metallic taste in her mouth. Her hair was falling out. These were all the symptoms of mercury poisoning. She was sure that the fish oil, those little capsules, were contaminated with mercury. Now, she got a few things a little twisted, and I can't blame her. We have heard about mercury in fish, but it's fresh fish. It's not the fish oil capsules. In fact, Consumer Reports did a little study and couldn't find any. 40 different brands of fish oil couldn't find any real mercury contamination. But nonetheless, this lady had this in her mind, went to the doctor, ordered a bevy of tests, and said he was sure. It sure sounded like the dietary supplement was doing this. And then, of course, three phone calls later, I was finally able to get through to her, and took me about 45 minutes of listening carefully and having her calm down, we got to the end of the list of her medications, and we looked it up while I had her here on the phone, and sure enough, Fosamax caused the metallic taste in the mouth, the loss of hair and all that. She was shocked. Her physician didn't know it. He's the one who prescribed it. And I said I was really stunned because I'd never heard this with fish oil before. So even if fish oil had a little mercury in it, your body of an adult's big enough to handle that and metabolize it and get rid of it, but it's not something desirable, certainly, but I can't believe we actually prescribe Fosamax. Most women who go on it after a time are certainly off of it. You know, what we're doing there is the problem for women as the change of life comes is we're telling them all the wrong things. Another thing we tell them that's wrong is to take calcium. Calcium has nothing to do with your bone loss and menopause. It all has to do with hormones. What changed? Did the women stop eating calcium? No. Their hormones changed. They don't have the production anymore of estrogen. Now we've left women in a total lurch, and we tell them that they can't go back to estrogen replacement therapy. Fine. Okay, they suffered through the symptoms of menopause, but over time they're going to lose their bones. The Japanese women don't worry about any of this. They have half the dietary consumption of calcium that American women do, and yet they don't have the broken hips we do by far. And what do they do? Well, they eat soy. We should eat flax. They have little molecules in them. They're like estrogen, 1,000th the strength. And they work to, of course, send a signal to hold the calcium in your bones. That's what you need. Putting more in won't fix it. Sending a signal to do this. And flaxseed meal, I recommend it to every woman from 18 to 88. Doesn't matter. To normalize your hormones. If they're too low, it'll bring it up. If it's too high, it'll bring it down. And a flaxseed meal, a tablespoon or two a day. Mix it in yogurt or cereal. And it's a really wonderful remedy, as well as good for men and the prostate gland as well. So these are things we need to learn. And, of course, Fosamax, Lipitor. How many people in our audience have loved ones if they themselves aren't on these medicines? And of course, the cholesterol one, we've attempted to bring it up only because it's so many billions of dollars of sales and because doctors do look at you square in the eye and tell you to take it. As we've disclosed here on the air, better than 97 out of 100 people who take a cholesterol-lowering drug will receive no benefit whatsoever and, you know, be paying $3, $4 a day for pills that don't work, simply don't do it. Now, Forbes magazine turning out to be a pretty good source of information, even though they're usually pro-pharmaceutical resource because of the stock market. But now Forbes magazine, again this week, says, well, they're looking for another cholesterol cure. Why? Because the one they have doesn't work, and they have to go find something that'll raise good cholesterol because they don't have a pill to do it, and that will bring them out of the doldrums, as they say, because, well, these drugs have started to tip down in sales just slightly. They're still making billions, but they realize they're going to come off patent. That's all they're worried about. And, of course, what raises good cholesterol? Well, they have got a slow-release niacin pill that does it. It's just a simple little vitamin B3 pill. So, you see, these things are all here, and, of course, they're going to lose a lot of money. These drugs are coming off patent. They got to come up with another idea. What they're doing now is inventing new diseases, so when the drugs come off patent, they apply them to a new disease. They extend the patent. They change the name of the drug. That's another thing. They've got all kinds of little stunts to try and keep the money flowing in so that they can avoid when the patent expires. So, and this goes on and on. We're just trying to alert everybody. Most of the medicines you're taking, well, there are far safer alternatives. Your doctor thinks they're okay. There's been fraud for years at the FDA. All of this just getting disclosed now. If you just think it's just Vioxx and I'm not taking Vioxx, if it's not the cholesterol drug and I'm taking a diabetic drug, keep going. We're going to uncover every one of these stones until you realize the medicines you take are unsafe. Every pill for blood pressure doesn't work. If one of them worked, we wouldn't put people on 3 and 4 of them, which is what happens. Every one of them fraught with problems, terrible side effects. And none of them work. There's a free report on my website at Knowledge of Health on alternatives to blood pressure pills. The biological action of virtually every prescription drug can be duplicated with dietary supplements. It's the biggest secret going. You can duplicate these without the side effects and the cost. All we have to do is tell everybody, sort it out, find the answers, get it to people, let them discover these alternatives. And, of course, this is what we need to do. And people are shocked when they hear this. The drug companies certainly know this. So we just need to get more of this information out so that people do understand what's happening.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Bill Sardi, and we're going to be talking about some of the problems we've really faced today as far as the medications we're taking are concerned. Those of you who have not yet read Marcia Angel's book, The Truth About the Drug Companies, Marcia Angel was the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, certainly the most prestigious medical journal in America, on the staff at Harvard. Her book, of course, got her nothing but trouble because the pharmaceutical aid companies came after her when she told the truth. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bill Sarni. And Bill, go ahead. Pick up the story there.
Well, we have such interesting stories in the news, some of them as shockers, as we're bringing up at the top of the hour here. And, of course, we like to get the solutions rather than problems. But I couldn't ignore the report this week out of Australia where they talked about fluoridation. And I know this has confused everybody. And the problem is, it sounds like a balancing act. Well, if there's something good and there's a few things that are bad, maybe the people that blow the whistle on what's bad are just naysayers. Maybe they're just purists. Maybe they just don't have all their facts straight. Well, here's some facts that they uncovered in Australia about fluoridation of the water. The actual number of cavities prevented, quote unquote, by fluoridation in New South Wales ranged from 1/2 to 7/10 of one tooth over a 5-year period.
Now, these were, of course, in very small children, wasn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
These were children but did not have their permanent teeth yet.
Right, and of course, they reported a 47 to 75% benefit, but it was only a difference from 1/2 to 7/10 of one tooth as far as the caries, the dental cavities. And of course, this is what you get here. When the numbers are small in anything, then it looks like the difference is a lot bigger, and it's a relative percentage. In a hard number, that isn't 1 out of 100. It's 1 out of 200. So, to say the half a tooth. So, it's just a good lesson how the numbers can be used. And I'm just appalled. The newspapers run these studies, take the press release and just print it. They have trained people at the major newspapers in biology and so on. They know how to read a medical report. And instead of getting a contrary opinion or calling the statistic to task, has anybody noticed lately? I don't watch too much TV, but gee, when I get in front of the television set, the evening news is brought to you by the pharmaceutical industry these days. Do you think they're going to say anything too much negative on the evening news about drugs?
Well, I thought the interesting thing about that Australian study is that in people with their permanent teeth, and I think it was children 11 to 12 years of age, there wasn't any difference at all in the areas where they fluoridated and did not fluoridate. Wasn't that correct?
That's right. And, of course, you know, I was so mad because this week the television was on, my wife was watching it, and they were advertising Aricept and telling people if your loved one has Alzheimer's disease. The British Medical Journal says Aricept is a totally worthless drug. Just has nothing but side effects. And yet here's the FDA approves this. Here's the FDA allowing a totally worthless drug to be advertised on television for Alzheimer's disease when it has no benefit. What is that all about? The FDA is permitting this to go on. And if you're misled by this, so of all things, there's a little Chinese herb they used to use for kind of a thinking man's little tea. And, of course, you could take one of these other little products, you know. So there are things like this that are around. And, of course, people don't know that there are some of these alternatives. And so we're just having all of these things thrown at us on television.
Hold that thought there for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bill was just saying that there's some new products out now for Alzheimer's disease being advertised on television. And yet, of course, the British Medical Journal has said these products really don't do any good at all as far as Alzheimer's disease is concerned. And the problem is so many of the things you see being advertised on television are of very questionable value. And yet, government is allowing these things to be advertised. Why? because they're phenomenal profits. Now, certainly if a medicine is good, I mean, I'm all in favor of a good and effective medication. But if you read the package inserts very carefully, and the trouble is they couch them in such large and words and complicated words, and the way they come up with their statistics, the difference between, say, 12% and 10%, they might actually be, I would say, a 2% improvement, 2% difference, but they would come up with a 30% difference, and they would tout this 30-45% difference. And how do they come up with those figures? Well, the old saying, figures don't lie, but liars figure. And they can, that's the figure they give to the doctor, and that's the figure the doctor gives to you. But they really are not very valid as far as significant help, you know, with many of the medications that you're going to be given that have really all sorts of potential side effects. So pick up the story there, Bill.
Well, as we go along in tonight's, well, shockers in the news this week, this is just 1 week out of America's little slice of news and history. And I wonder how much of us can handle this. This never ends. Here's Dr. Sherry Tenpenny pointing out, well, a respected physician, and she's pointing out to us that they ran this news story. Did you see it? The Amish have an outbreak of polio. Now, you know, the Amish people, kind of a lot of them don't go get vaccinations, so they don't get polio vaccine.
And they don't, their kids don't get autism like everybody else's
exactly.
kids do because
so,
they don't vaccinate.
So they wanted to point at this, so all the news media ran this story. Look, there's an outbreak of polio in the Amish. It's just them, no one else. And so now we got this polio back in the country again.
It's all those Amish's fault because they won't be
well,
vaccinated.
Well, it's going to outbreak to the rest of us, you see. And so this was spread around. Now Dr. Sherry Tenpenny reporting, she's president medical director, you know, in the Cleveland area for OsteoMed there, and she's graduate lecturer at Cleveland State and so on. And she says that this was only the discovery of inactivated poliovirus in the stool of four children. There were no cases of active polio.
And of course, the virus that they had was the attenuated virus, not the wild virus, but the attenuated virus that they're giving in vaccines to other children. So
exactly.
These kids must have picked
so
it up from the other
kids
children.
Probably did get vaccinated, and that's what they found in their stool. And they're reporting this. What's wrong with our newspapers today for parroting all this stuff, for not checking the facts? When I was in journalism school, to get the opposing viewpoint, what has happened here? And so they're trying to finger the Amish and make them look foolish for not getting their vaccinations.
And, of course, they want everybody to take their vaccines, even though if you look and see the complications of many of the vaccines and whether it be contaminating almost our entire population with a cancer-producing virus, with the original polio vaccine, or then with the cytomegalic viruses and the later doses of these. The polio vaccine, or certainly the autism, the hyperallergy, and 1 in 6 American children has asthma. Why do we have so much asthma in the United States? We don't see it in the Amish children. We don't see it in the children who aren't vaccinated. So pick up the story there.
Well, and as someone is circulating on the internet wisely this week, the Centers for Disease Control, which makes many of these announcements on vaccines, Centers for Disease Control, it's out of Atlanta, but it's many, many centers. They have different areas of specialty. Most of them funded by industry. They're just a front for the pharmaceutical companies. You think it's government. And this is, of course, the how they operate. They operate under the guise of being neutral government health experts that are on your side. And, of course, this is the kind of problem that you hear. And it's so hard for everyone to sort out as they hear these stories. I just don't know how far we're going to go here. Most of the information we're getting from our doctors in the newspapers, where do you get your health information? Most of it's misinformation.
Well, unfortunately, the doctor knows what the detailed person tells them. knows what he reads in his medical journals, but so many of the medical journals are, in one way or another, subsidized by the drug companies, and you're never going to want, of course, to bite the hand that feeds you. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Bill Sardi as we begin unraveling some of these tragic situations that face the average American today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bill Sardi. Go ahead, Bill.
Certainly, as we go on tonight, and we could continue almost forever, we're going to talk about a nursing home tragedy, a little bug called Clostridium. It's a little spore bacterium. And, of course, Clostridium difficile is what they call it. D-I-F-F-I-C-I-L-E, if you didn't understand how I said it on the air. It's the little bug that's killing all of our loved ones in the nursing homes. It doesn't happen just in the nursing home and just when they use the antibiotics only. What's happening there? It seems like the antibiotics themselves are killing our loved ones, and that's exactly what's happening. New England Journal of Medicine put out a special bulletin this week. Understand, this little bug killed 2,000 people in nursing homes in 1 year in Quebec City, Canada. Now, for all of us to understand this, it's a killer. But what do the antibiotics have to do with it? What's happening is the antibiotics, a certain class of them, the non-absorbed ones that stay right in the gut, were killing off the good bacteria with the bad. There was nothing left to oppose this Clostridium bug. And as soon as you finished using the antibiotic, even weeks or months later, Clostridium took over, and wham, you were dead.
And of course, what happens if people get intense diarrhea, and of course, what you've got to do is get the other bacteria back in there, or try to find something that'll kill the Clostridia, because the Clostridia just take over. They're ordinarily suppressed by the normal flora of the gut, but when that is gone because of the antibiotics, then you get this Clostridia difficile, and this can be very, very life-threatening.
So, and of course, the answer for it all? Down at your health food store, brewer's yeast. It goes by the name of Saccharomyces boulardii. It's a technical name. You just ask for brewer's yeast. They started to use it, and the patient survived. And understand, Clostridium, it's in your little babies. It's in some of our gastric tract. It's there, but as long as you've got only a few weeds and a lot of grass, good bacteria, Acidophilus, Bifidus, it opposes this and it doesn't take over. And when we use the antibiotics, then it takes over. We killed off the good opposing bacteria. And of course, modern medicine, I had a little exchange with an angry physician this week because I put out an article on a website saying what to give grandma in the nursing home this Christmas, a bottle of brewer's yeast.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bill is talking about, of course, the epidemic of Clostridia infections among nursing home patients has been around for a long time. Certainly when I was practicing, it was always something you worried about. When you gave people antibiotics for a period of time and they developed an intense diarrhea, and it was because this Clostridia difficile infection would come forward. You kill off the normal bacteria flora in the bowel, and of course the Clostridia then takes over and can be life-threatening. And Bill's point was, the treatment ideal for this would be brewer's yeast, because it contains a good bacteria, and if grandmother in the hospital has been given antibiotics, you have to give her something to keep up the flora in the intestinal tract. If you don't, of course, she could develop this Clostridial infection and simply die from it. So Bill was saying he got a furious response from a physician today because of a recent article on his webpage talking about, what should you give grandmother for Christmas? Why give her some brewer's yeast? Pick up the story.
Well, if she's in a nursing home, this is where these deaths are occurring. And the doctor was angry because he said this was unproven. Well, they do have some studies where this was proven. By the way, the FDA wouldn't allow them to use this brewer's yeast. And a lot of AIDS patients died before they allowed them to use just simple brewer's yeast, harmless. And then when they did use it on them, this is how they got to the discoveries of this for these nursing home patients. And then the doctor on the internet said, really what we need is a double-blind placebo control. These guys operate on rote. I mean, that would be so unethical. Imagine we're going to test your grandma now and give one grandma the real thing and one grandma a fake pill, and then, you know, some will die and some won't. Of course, you can't do a study like that. What we're going to do is suggest that everybody entering a nursing home get this brewer's yeast frequently from time to time before any of these infections occur. Well, that's what I just suggested. Prophylaxis before it occurs. And if you have this Clostridium bug in you already, you're going to beat it back. So, you know, this is our problem. And, of course, the antibiotic companies love the FDA should have taken action knowing 2,000 people died in one city due to antibiotics and banned that class of antibiotics. Do you understand? Your FDA is allowing thousands of people to die in nursing homes unnecessarily when they should take immediate action. Now, with all these things you heard tonight, you heard about Vioxx, you heard about cholesterol drugs, you heard about fluoridation, you heard about, the Amish and the vaccines. And what do the doctors in New York State decide to do to clean up their profession? They're actually starting, Department of Health in New York, a giant campaign, 2 years in the making, 102-page report, to regulate dietary supplements. You know, those things that have been killing everybody? Keep trying to find the dead bodies. Yes! In the wake of the Vioxx scandal, in the wake of the fact that over 100,000 people die every year from properly prescribed drugs in hospitals administered by nurses, doctors in New York have decided they're going to over-regulate, come down hard on the hammer. They said the federal FDA is not taking action, so they're going to take action. One of the first things they're going to do is come down on that little, innocent little herb used in the South Pacific Islands for hundreds of years called kava kava, because kava kava causes all kinds of liver damage. I don't know where these doctors have been. Kava kava's been exonerated. The FDA sent out a bulletin, couldn't find any cases of liver disease. It was all hyped up in Europe because they were trying to cover for the drugs that patients were taking with kava kava that caused the liver problems. There were 19 reported cases. They can only find one confirmed case in Europe. That's it. And on one confirmed case, they banned kava kava here for a time, banned it completely in Europe. And now the doctors in New York are going to come down on little kava kava. You know, this little anti-anxiety herb the South Pacific Islanders use. It's just unbelievable. And, of course, this must be funded by everybody smells the pharmaceutical industry and all this behind it. Now they want to have something called adverse event reporting. So now every adverse event with a dietary supplement, they're going to tell you to turn in your dietary supplement company. Call up, dial this number, and call in and report all your adverse events. So that's what they want you to do. We say this is just going to be a lot of constipation counting. We know some things occur from diarrhea, constipation, too much calcium is constipation, too much magnesium is a little loose stool. We know these things occur. Niacin causes flushing. There are little problems that occur. By and large, they're safer. Your dietary supplements today are safer than vaccines, safer than an aspirin tablet, even safer than table salt. And yet we're going to come down with this regulatory agency in New York now to regulate dietary supplements. And we're going to mandate the dietary supplement companies have to pay for all this regulation to do what? Is there a demonstration project that's going to bring down the death rate? There are very few cases of mortality due to dietary supplements. Ephedra was the one exception, and even then they couldn't produce a cause and effect relationship. But ephedra is a stimulant, like Turkish coffee and other things that have caffeine or stimulants. They can cause the heart to race And people that overuse them, like they did, had their heart flutter and they had a heart attack and died. So misuse can be a problem. There's no excuse. Proper labeling, better way of using the supplements. So now that patients who want to lose weight, they have to get a drug from a doctor rather than using ephedra. And of course, those drugs have the very same side effects that the ephedra pills did, the dietary supplements. So we haven't got rid of the risk yet. We haven't saved any lives yet. And I don't know what all this is going to do in New York, but drive up the cost of dietary supplements. As the witch hunt on dietary supplements begins, they're going to do it state by state now. This gets to be how this is going to go. And if we only understood in our interview this week with Dr. John Cannell of the Vitamin D Council to tell us we have a tremendous deficiency of vitamin D. In the winter months, the death rate goes up, and in the whole world, vitamin D related to loss of muscle tone, heart failure, because your heart's a muscle, hypertension, autoimmune disease, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus are in there. Of course, osteoporosis, rickets in small children, mental depression, certainly winter seasonal depression, carbohydrate craving, that's the obesity side of it, the breast, prostate, uterine, and colon cancer belt in the world is where the vitamin D levels are low, where the sun doesn't shine in the winter. A tremendous, endless number. If you're having trouble with losing bladder control, certainly it's a problem as people get older, incontinence. Vitamin D, we're losing muscle tone. We're just not understanding, especially blacks, they need a lot more vitamin D. They hardly make any. 90% of the vitamin D comes from the sun in the winter months. We'll hardly make any. And, of course, Vitamin D Council saying we need 4,000 to 5,000 units a day, perfectly safe. Merck Manual says that's an overdose. National Academy of Sciences says that's an overdose. Your doctor, pharmacist, dietitian will tell you it's an overdose. Don't ask them. They're all wrong. Leading vitamin D researchers in the world, go into your browser on the Internet, find Vitamin D Council and read all the reports. The widespread, tremendous deficiency. I can't tell you how much time I take all day long holding the hands of people who are so worried, vitamin D. But are you sure, Bill, that it's not going to be toxic? No, it couldn't be toxic. You can stand out in the sun in the summer for an hour at noontime and make 10,000 units of vitamin D. And you mean to tell me those little pills that you have, the little tiny pills, are going to cause you more trouble than the sun? No. So it's not going to happen. We've been misled on this one, too. And I just mentioned how many diseases? Heart failure, bone loss, hypertension, autoimmune disease. Do you have rheumatoid arthritis? You should be taking high doses of vitamin D. We've had a lot of people get out of wheelchairs and get rid of their medicines just with vitamin D alone. And I can't tell you how widespread this problem is. Food and Nutrition Board taking no action. FDA, no action. National Institutes of Health, no action on the widespread deficiency of vitamin D. We now have an ability, 5,000 unit capsules of vitamin D have now just become available by one company. So go to Knowledge of Health. We'll try and tell you and lead you to the places where you can find all this, but otherwise, you've got to take a lot of little 400-unit pills. It's hard to find the 1,000-unit pills. You'll have to take five of those. Company got ahead of the game here and finally has one for 5,000 units out on the market. The FDA's kind of browbeat a lot of the dietary supplement companies, so they're a little hesitant to offer that big a dose.
And yes, I used to give 50,000 units, I think, twice a week, Monday and Thursday.
Well, and the public actually has access to a 50,000-unit pill. They actually have that, too, for a while here, till the FDA catches up. But as you say, you know, you used to give these injections, and certainly you didn't see the side effects. So we've just been misled on this.
Well, let's go ahead and get your website out there and so people will know how to get in touch with you.
Knowledgeofhealth.com, and I know a lot of people have been asking me lately, knowledgeofhealth.com. If you see anything for sale there, We don't make any personal money on it. It's just to pay for the cost of running that website, paying my web manager and designer, and, of course, advertising the website. We actually pay Google a couple of $1,000s a month to put out information just to invite people to our website to get free things. They don't know it's there, so we had to learn to advertise. So there's a few books there. If you want to really dig in and read the bigger books, why they cost a few dollars. But there's some pretty big reports there in hypertension and autism and lots of other wonderful reports, and they're all free. We're trying to do it as a public service as long and as hard as we can, and you'll find good information there for you and your loved ones. And I'm getting more and more emails from all over the world now, people desperate for answers and don't know where to get things. We even try to lead them to companies that will ship overseas so they can get some of the dietary supplements and things they can't get in the other countries. Customs is stopping them in Belgium, stopping them in Australia, so sometimes you can't get them where you'd really like to get them. But we're certainly trying to help people where we can. We don't sell them out of that site. That isn't what our purpose there is. We just try to lead them to companies that do. But it's quite a task, as we hear a lot of heart-wrenching stories of people who just need vitamin C, and of course they can't get it, don't know about it, and don't really realize all the wonderful benefits of it. And so much misinformation to wade through, and I know a lot of us are just so frightened. And of course our doctor can recommend a drug, we'll take it. And a dietary supplement, we think it's going to interfere with our medicines. It's the other way around. The medicines interfere with your dietary supplements. Your dietary supplements, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, are essential for life, but drugs are not. Which is interfering with which? So somehow we've got our head twisted around. We're taking 7 medications without question, and we never think that we nearly need to abandon them. We're never going to get well, because most dietary supplements deplete certain nutrients. Even aspirin depletes us of vitamin C and folic acid. We will never get well. And it goes on like this. Coenzyme Q10 is what you need to keep your heart thumping. And, of course, the statin drugs for cholesterol deplete you of that. And this goes on and on. The list keeps going of all the nutrients that we are robbed of. Steroids rob us of quite a few nutrients and so on. So
let me just make that point, that if you are on a statin drug, you should be taking coenzyme Q10.
That's right.
And you really have to understand that coenzyme Q10 is the key to function of your heart, of your muscles, and even of your, certainly how your mind works. So the coenzyme Q10 is really an essential, and the statin drugs actually suppress it.
And, you know, we do have an e-book, How to Get Over Your Cholesterol Phobia, and it tries to give you all these alternatives. And I know a lot of people, well, they went down to the health food store and they heard about red yeast rice from China, so they decided to take it. Well, but it has the same molecules as the statin drugs that destroy your liver. You know, so sometimes alternative medicine, some of these things, can, you need to have a real good coach keep you away from the things that are toxic. So to make your liver malfunction, to get your cholesterol number down, when it doesn't improve your mortality rate, that's all risk and no gain. So,
well, it sure looks good. I mean, they can show you those figures and how it's coming down, but is it actually helping? Or what? Many times people begin to get personality changes, they'll begin to get dementia as their cholesterol gets lower and lower.
And, you know, we're just trying to lead people without any commercial interest into helping them find simple, easy ways. I had an email today from a man who works in a company with 3,000 employees. They spend $20 million a year paying for their health care. That's $7,000 an employee. And not a dime of it goes to keep them from having to run to the doctor. The workers think it's great. They're covered so they can run down to the doctor when they get sick. What kind of nonsense is that? Not one dime of it goes to keep you away from the doctor. And I wonder what a company would do. I challenged them to go buy enough vitamin C pills, put them in the lunchroom and provide them to all their employees and see what would happen with the sick days in their company for 1 year. So I keep telling employers, just do that. We had a little company. I had 7 employees for a while. We did that. It's amazing how few sick days we ever had among any of the people.
Somebody just called in. They want to know the difference between vitamin C as ascorbic acid and as ascorbate.
Yes. Vitamin C goes by a couple of names. The common form sold in the health food stores is and pharmacies is ascorbic acid. Now, if it's too acid for you, then you want to get something that's buffered or complexed with an alkaline mineral, and these would be with magnesium and calcium and so on. Those are called the ascorbates. Ascorbates, like mineral ascorbates, are calcium ascorbate, magnesium ascorbate, and those are the so-called alkaline minerals that are attached. So that's the buffered vitamin C. You have either choice. I like the buffered ones just because so many people seem to have some trouble with anything that's acid. But again, that's even a sign that you don't have enough vitamin C, not enough mucus lining in your stomach, not enough vitamin A. So these are some of the signs that you have.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up our program with Bill Sardi, and of course his website is knowledgeofhealth.org or com. knowledgeofhealth.com, and he's got a couple of other websites. One of them is Ask Bill Sardi. Another one is, of course, survivalvitamins.com, where he does have some excellent thoughts on vitamins and vitamin availability. We'll be right back in just a moment with Bill Sardi to wrap up tonight's program. Well, Bill, we've got just 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Of course, we've heard all these things, the misinformation in the news. And from our last story here, Gladstone Institute Neurological Disease, University of California, San Francisco, reporting they found for the first time how cancer spreads. And it happens to be the little sticky molecule called fibronectin. And roaming cancer cells will stick to that little gooey stuff, and then they will spread away from the original site of the tumor. Of course, we know 90% of cancer deaths has to do with metastasis, or the spread of tumors to another site. And of course, they say they've found for the first time they're developing antibodies to prevent this. Ladies and gentlemen, they're not reporting you the truth. This has already been known before. This wasn't the first time. Doctors earlier in the year found out a red wine molecule called resveratrol blocks fibronectin and the spread of cancer. You see, what we read in the headlines is all promoted by commercial interests. Don't tell us the whole story. They're trying to drive people to go invest in stocks. They're trying to drive people to, of course, products, to wait. A lot of people don't have time to wait if they have cancer. I'm writing a book. It's quite a project. We'll have it out next year on cancer and, of course, how you can find some alternatives. Cancer therapy, dreadfully, dismally a failure. We need to find some answers. We're going to try and share them to you early next year. Knowledge of Health is the website. You're welcome to ask questions there, and we're happy to provide answers at no charge.
And, of course, the resveratrol really is available today in pill form, isn't it?
It is, and of course, I helped develop a little pill there. I do have a commercial interest in that called Longevinix. But go to the website. You'll find out some of that news and find it all out for yourself.
Well, I think it's really fascinating that at least these scientists did seem to feel that the
other scientists found that these were the disingenuous ones, not telling us they weren't the first and had already been discovered, and we had an easy way to do it. And of course, understanding that by the time you're diagnosed with cancer, 30% of us already have metastasis. If we were taking a little red wine pill already without the alcohol in it, boy, what a thing. We would never have cancer spread. It means the likelihood of dying of cancer would be dismally small.
All right, fine. Well, Bill, we're out of time. I want to thank you so very much for being with us again this evening, and we'll look forward to having you on again next month.
Thank you again, Dr. Stan.
Good night, and God bless. And this is our special guest this evening is Bill Sardi. Always enjoy it. Hope you do, too. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we need to remind our listening audience that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're going to give you the information you're not going to get elsewhere. Now, I check Bill's information, and I've never found that he put out something that wasn't accurate. In fact, we've read all of the scientific studies that we've talked about tonight, the background behind them, and unfortunately, we are being misled. Those of you who have not read the book, The Truth About the Drug Companies, by Dr. Marshall Angel, on the staff at Harvard, who was formerly the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, let me suggest her book. It's an excellent source of information. And, of course, Radio Liberty has all sorts of other information on health and health matters. Why don't you go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com, and you can sort of pull down our information, or if you don't have access to the internet, if you'd like to get a free copy of one of our newsletters, our current newsletter is called Peak Oil 2. It goes into the background of why your electricity rate, your natural gas, your heating oil, your gasoline and other petroleum product prices are rising, part of a carefully planned program to impoverish the American people. And we give you the source material where you can actually read where the wicked people who are running things behind the scenes have talked about how they're going to have equitable distribution of wealth, not only within nations, but between nations. And if they're going to have equitable distribution or redistribution of wealth between nations, what are they talking about? They're talking about taking your wealth and your future away and transferring it to other nations. It's part of a master plan. It's called the Earth Charter. It's point 10A of the Earth Charter, written by three of the wealthiest men in the world. You see, they want to equitably redistribute your wealth, not their wealth. So that's the Earth Charter. If you'd like a copy, we'll be glad to send you one. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then we do hope that many of you out there will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us as we reach out 5 hours every day by radio and by internet, and 4 hours on satellite and certainly on shortwave, as we reach out across the world trying to let people understand that most of what you are going to read in the newspaper is just frankly not true. I do not profit at all from what I'm doing. My job is to try to get people to understand what's going on. I'm a retired orthopedic surgeon. I do what I do because if the American people don't understand what's going on, we're going to lose America. We are involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought, a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And Christian civilization is under attack today. There is an organized, orchestrated effort to destroy everything that's worthwhile and noble, to corrupt our young people, and they're doing a pretty good job through radio and the educational system and television and our motion pictures. They know exactly what they're doing, but the last thing they want is for the American people to know what's going on. So remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, our website, radioliberty.com. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America. That 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have a special guest in studio this evening. Her name is Evie Nichols, and I've known Evie for, well, I guess 43 years. When I first started, went to a church out in Scotts Valley where I came to know the Lord, a small little Baptist church, and Ellie was quite an old lady at that time, and now 40 years later, why, well, she is certainly one of the senior citizens in our area. She does a radio program which we broadcast on our small radio station every week, and sometime I really want to get some of those tapes together. It's a children's program, and children really in our area are privileged to have the opportunity to hear the stories of Grandma Evie. Evie has written a book of poetry. It's called Heart to Heart with Grandma Evie, and so she really has this here, and we're going to have her go ahead and read some of the prayers. These are poems of various things that she's written through the years, things that have really expressed the heart and what she's learned in over 90 years. Most of that time as a dedicated Christian. So, Evie, why don't you just go ahead and read one of the couple of your poems for us?
Doctor, it's a real pleasure for me to be here tonight. I feel very much at home in 89.9, having had the joy of being on Heart to Heart with Grandma Evie all these years. And so it's wonderful for me to have an opportunity to publish a book. Never thought I'd ever do that, but people kept saying, you ought to publish those books, those poems. And so I thought I would read one to you. The love of God for us. It is as though you and I were the only ones in his universe. For us, his beloved son was made an awful curse. Oh, love of God, so deep, so high, so wide, for us. Yes, a cruel spear pierced his blessed side. God of love, you were in Christ that dreadful day, reconciling us, sin's debt to pay. For without the shedding of his precious blood, there was no remission for sin. Oh, let it flood our hearts. Cleanse us just now. Oh, please, Lord, come in. Lord, your love was spilled out on Golgotha's hill, and Christ's cleansing blood avails for us still. 10,000 angels could have come if he had willed, but for love of us, that hour Jesus fulfilled. Now our hearts with the love of Jesus are filled, for the question of our sin is forever stilled. Love so amazing, so divine, we hear the hymn writers call for us. This demands our lives, our souls, our all.
That's beautifully said, and of course that's really the story of Christianity, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Christ then carried our sin. And of course, the poems here, some of them really rhyme very beautifully. Others are simply matters of philosophy. Evie, what's the next poem you'd like to read?
I would like to read one for Christians.
And what page is it?
It's on page 5, and it's called Gems for His Crown.
All right, fine.
We are God's treasures. We Christians are God's treasures, his most precious jewels. Trials without measure are often his tools, used for the polishing, refining processes we need for our finishing as his spirit possesses. We're being shaped and buffed by circumstances and people, by cutting edges narrow and roughed, by God's Word and even God's people. But what marvelous beauty when His work is done, polished gems He can see in each one of us, for His crown are won. I love that poem. I think that's sweet that the Lord gave me those thoughts.
All right, fine. Well, it is. It's really very, very beautiful and very profound. So what else would you like to read?
Well, there's one that I kind of like because I heard someone say, oh, God is dead, you know, and I thought, oh, my, how tragic.
Now, so these are written over many years. These were written back in 1976.
Yes.
So what page are you going to now, Abby?
We're going to 7, page 7.
All right, fine.
God is not dead. Luke 24. My friend, are you perplexed today? Filled with fear, sad wonderings, astonishment and unbelief, looking all around you but finding no relief? Dear friend, is your heart sad? Is your heart crying, God, are you dead? Look to God's word. See what the angel said. Be not afraid. The tomb is empty. We may read, Christ the Lord is risen indeed. Oh, friend, your heart will start burning within when you see, yes, He died, but He rose again to show you His love and save you from sin. Receive Him this very hour. You'll have peace and great joy and power. Now, friend, this good news with others you will share. They too need a Savior, their burdens to bear. Our God is alive. He arose from the sod. Oh, let you and I go everywhere praising and blessing our God.
And, of course, there are those who would like us to believe that God is dead, that there are no certainly source of absolutes in the world today, and that anything goes, and we can certainly live our lives as we want to. And, of course, that, of course, is Satan's message. Satan would have us certainly believe that we can be the ultimate determinant of right and wrong. The Scriptures, of course, tell us that we are to obey God. And we are to fear God. And one of the problems of today is we don't have any leaders who fear God. They're all going to do the things on their own. And, of course, they're leading us ultimately to destruction. Well, when did you start writing your poems?
Dr. Monteith, it was when I was teaching a Bible study course for women at Baymont Christian School.
That was a million years ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, about 76, I think
right.
It was.
And so many of these poems were actually written back in 76.
Well, I had a precious granddaughter and grandson whose parents, they lost their parents very early, and so it was our great privilege to have Kimberly from the time she was 2 months old until she was full grown. And she's my beloved granddaughter out there in Massachusetts. And she is now the mother of 4 beautiful great-grandchildren for me, and I'm thrilled about that. And also, I have a beloved grandson. My Stephen Duncan is such a treasure to me and a comfort to me and such a help to me in my old age and in my widowhood. So,
what gave you the inspiration for the poems?
What, pardon?
What gave you the inspiration?
Well, it was the Bible. It was the Bible, and they came in the strangest way. I was taking the granddaughter to school at Baymont, and I'd have to get up and leave the house in Mount Hermon and be there by 8 o'clock. And so I had a little pad of paper that I'd set right between the two seats in the front, and a pen. And I say, Lord, you know, I've been up studying that lesson, but I've got to have some notes here that will help me to take the outstanding points of the lesson, and so that I can know what I'm going to teach this morning. I had to teach the women about 9 o'clock in the morning, so there wasn't much time. So I would leave that pencil right there, and on the way when we'd come to a stop sign, I remember this so well, at the stop sign, I'd have a little signal on that must tear this point and this point. And then when I got to school, I found out that this thing was a rhyme. And so the very first time that I had the class, I thought, Lord, I think I've got to read this poem to these ladies. Well, they loved the poem. And they said, will you do this? Will you do one for every class? I didn't know how to write a poem.
You're going to have to stay up close to the microphone. You can't lean back.
Okay. Is that better?
That's fine.
All right. Yes, I just didn't have time to study. I never studied writing poetry, but it was because of those lessons, and I wanted to take the main points of those lessons so that I would be able to really teach God's Word. What a privilege it is and has been for me to teach God's Word. The joy of my life, Dr. Stan, is that I might serve Him, and I've told Him I'd like to serve Him as long as I have breath. And here I am breathing still, and at 93. And so I have a little poem in the back of the book that says, at 93, what's for me? And I said, the best is yet to come. Isn't that great? And then because I'll go home to glory. I can't lose. If I go home, wonderful. I've got my loved ones there, my beloved husband and my daughter and all kinds of people there. But I want to serve Him. I want to press on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't ever want to turn away from the Lord. I've in the Bible you read about so many dear men of God in there who turned away and became idol worshipers and made terrible, tragic mistakes in their life. And I've just said, Lord, please keep me from doing some foolish thing that would spoil my testimony, so I keep very short accounts with my Lord. I confess my sins. Every day I say, Lord, I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy, H-O-L-Y. I thought it was W-H-O-L-L-Y before, but He wants our lives to be holy. I do not think we have any excuse for not having holy lives that are walking in the straight and narrow path and following what God tells us to do.
Well, Evie, how did you happen to come about to be doing your radio programs? Because you've been doing a weekly radio program that's been broadcast here on Radio Liberty for as long as I can remember, pretty close to 10 years now.
Well, years ago, I think when I was about 25 years old, I was asked to sing a solo for the churches in that area in Sacramento where we lived would take a certain night to do something on the radio. Well, I was terrified about doing the song. I didn't consider myself a soloist. But anyway, I said, if the Lord asks me to do something, I've got to do it. So I just went on there. And afterwards, the man came around and he said, I want to speak to you, Mrs. Nichols. And I said, yes. And I thought maybe I'd made a terrible mistake or something. Anyway, he said, I want you to know that you have a voice that is excellent on radio. And that kind of surprised me, and we were transferred almost immediately from Sacramento down to Bakersfield. And there was a new mortuary built, and they had a big auditorium where they had weddings and they had all kinds of things. And I was doing child evangelism work in those days, and so I got the vision of having all that place filled up with a whole bunch of kids on Good Friday. I thought if folks can have a Good Friday service, why not for the kids? So in those days, you could take a lot of things and pass them around at the school. I did that, and we had 325 kids that first meeting up there. And it was there that the man came up to me afterwards. It was Good Friday, and he said, I'd like to see you in my office. That terrified me. I thought, oh, my goodness, I've flubbed it, I've ruined it, I've done this and that. And when I got in there, he said, would you like to tell that same story on Sunday morning? No, was it Sunday? Yeah, I don't know, Saturday night or Sunday. He said, the man who usually plays the organ during that period, his mother's ill, he's out of state. I said, oh, I don't know, I've never done anything like that. And I said, I'll have to pray about it. And so I went home, called my prayer partners. They said, Evie, this is a wonderful opportunity. Do it, do it. So I said, well, if you'll pray for me, I'll do it. And I've always had to have people who would pray for me to back me up. And so, sure enough, that was my first radio program down there. It was called Songs and Stories by Evie Nichols. So I not only sang, but I told stories, Bible stories, right out of the book.
Well, I'm sure the people were blessed who heard it. I know the people who heard your programs locally have been blessed. And a lot of children, will listen to a Grandma Evie's program every Saturday on our little radio station here. And certainly one of these days I'd just love to put those together into four tape sets and make them available to children all across America.
Oh, wouldn't that be just a dream, an answer to prayer? That even after I go home to be with the Lord, those could be read. And children do love the program, there's no doubt about it. They love the song, I Love You, Lord. And in the back of my poetry book, I close off my book with the words I do from the station and say, well, it's time to say goodbye. God bless you and I love you. And that's the way I close the poetry book. And so it's pretty much centered around the on the back page there. And it's then I said, now don't forget the words of our song. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. And kids just love that song. My own grandchildren do. They come running.
I think a lot of children really are looking for something that gives life meaning. So much of what they get in school today gives them this feeling of hopelessness, and that's what the school is designed to do. Why would they be telling our children all about suicide in school?
Oh,
why would they be
taking
them to the cemetery and some, you know, filling their minds full of stories of death The sex education has absolutely no place in kindergarten.
No.
But what they're doing is giving our young children, many of them, a sort of a sense of hopelessness.
Yes.
They know exactly what they're doing, and your programs are really uplifting and inspiring.
Yes, well, God is saving children through that. I meet children who've listened and who have come to Christ. That's very thrilling to me. I don't have a lot of contact with my audience, but I feel my audience. I feel as though I know them. And I love them, and I tell them that all the time. And then I took from Joy Ritterhoff's story, which is currently running on the station, from her life, she said she has made it her choice to rejoice. And so I said, you know, this is a day we need to be rejoicing. And so I said, let's take her motto as our motto on Heart to Heart with Grandma Evie. And so if I see anybody that's been on, I say, are you rejoicing? And they know what we're talking about. And they'll either smile, and then maybe they'll look dull. And I said, well, listen, just get into the book. Get into the Word of God. See what He has to tell you. And so I'm all for God's precious Word and prayer. And I love to read. I may have something here that we could read a little bit on prayer. That would be helpful. I don't know how much time we have, Doctor.
You go right ahead. I will let you know when we run out of time. Want to have another poem you'd like to read there?
Yes, I'd like to read something about prayer. Well, I want to read about what is a miracle.
Right.
I think
let's
the children
read,
like
go ahead and read.
What is a miracle? This is kind of a funny little poem. A miracle is just God being enthusiastic. Changing lives every day. How fantastic. Look for His miracles in little things. In looking unto Him, the heart sings. Waiting upon Him renews your strength. He'll cause you to run and not even mind the length. A miracle just to walk and not faint in a wicked world kept from taint. Why doubt and why worry? He'll work it out, even if a miracle's needed to bring it about. He loves you so tenderly. What a sweet message for children. He loves you so tenderly, He'll see you through. Most of all, God's enthusiastic just about you. So I kind of like that one.
Well, I love it too. And I really think that so many of our young people today are being brought up with a sense that what's life really all about? And, you know, if there is no God, then really there is very little purpose in life. Life becomes simply, you know, something. You live 67 years and you die. That old saying that no good deed will ever go unpunished. The idea that most people live a life of quiet desperation. And those who don't know the Lord do live a life of quiet desperation.
Yes, they do.
And yet, as knowing a God, having a personal relationship with our Lord, can give life meaning that nothing else has that opportunity to do. Communists give their life to an ideology trying to make a better world, and so do socialists and humanists.
Oh my.
But in the end, it's really
so
rather an empty calling. And if you read the writings of H.G. Wells, I think his last book, Life at the End of a Tether, and you get this feeling, a man who'd spent his whole life dedicated to the world revolution, what he called the New World Order.
Oh my.
Life would never be what he wanted it to be. And his whole life had been spent in pursuit of a dream that he knew would never come to fruition. We'll be back in just a moment with Grandma Evie. And if you have a question, give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Grandma Evie, Evie Nichols, who I've known for well over 40 years now. And she's written a wonderful book called Heart to Heart with Grandma Evie. Do you have an address where people could write to get copies of this if they'd like to?
I think that I'm going to have to wait in answer to that because it's not wise to have my address on the tapes anymore. I can't have people coming who have maybe...
Well, if anybody then would like to get a copy of the book, they can give us a call at our number at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd be interested in knowing more about getting Evie's book, it's beautifully done. Certainly, as you look at the graphics... And, of course, as you look at the poems, each one is something very, very special, written over a period of really the last 30 years or more, starting back in 1976. And here we are. And we've got Ray calling, actually, from Santa Cruz, perhaps. Let's see what Ray has to say. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good tonight. I just think, my question was revolving around the fact that there's been a concerted effort to keep Christ out of Christmas,
right,
in this country, and it's happening all over the place.
You're absolutely right.
And I'm just wondering whether in Santa Cruz or in Watsonville, is there any stores or any places that I might want to boycott? Or
Well, I think you would just have to talk to them. I know some of the major stores now have backed away from the attitude of telling their employees only to say Happy Holiday and not Merry Christmas. And I went into a store the other day to buy something for my wife down at the Capitola Mall. And as I left, the girl smiled and said, Merry Christmas. And I a little taken aback, I said, wonderful, and I hope you have a wonderful and joyous and Merry Christmas as well. Ray, I think what you're going to have to do is just go to the store and see what they say and say Merry Christmas and get their response.
Just say Merry Christmas yourself. But I think it's an evil thing to, especially for little children, to rob them of Christmas. I mean, it's
terrible.
Despicable,
But, Ray, we're dealing with... You listen to our programs on a regular basis. You know that there is a conspiracy against God. There are those who hate the God of the Bible and who hate Jesus Christ and will do everything they can to destroy him. And they're coordinated. They know what they're doing. And this Christmas, I think, was so interesting that so many of the major chains had put out orders to their employees only to say... Happy holidays, and specifically not Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that many of those companies have backed down because, certainly they see the dollar signs getting smaller and smaller. The gentleman named Don Wildman, who actually is heading this drive, he has a network of about, well over 100 radio stations in the East. He's a Baptist minister. I know him personally. And he's heading this drive, and I will tell you, a lot of the companies are backing down, and they're beginning to put Christ back into Christmas.
That's great. But, that's about what I wanted to say. But I'm really concerned about the Supreme Court. Their viewpoint on Christmas, I wonder what it is, whether they even believe in God, period,
Well, we're going to be interesting to see what happens. We live in exciting times, Ray. Ray, Evie, do you have anything to say?
Nothing much. No, that was it.
All right, God bless you. Thanks very much.
Bless you, bye.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment then with our special guest, Evie Nichols. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Evie Nichols. And during the break, we had a call from a gentleman here in Santa Cruz concerned because there's been an orchestrated effort to take Christ out of Christmas. And the thing is that they can't take Christ out of Christmas. That's what the Christmas season is all about, is the birth of our Savior. And we don't have to let them spoil our time. What we can do, of course, if we find out that a company has this attitude, we simply boycott them and we don't go there. So I think it's up to us to find out what's going on. And as I mentioned, Don Wildman of the American Family Network has the information. You can get his website up on the internet. But our guest this evening is Evie Nichols, and we're talking about certainly her ministry over many, many years of teaching. I remember when my children were very young, why she taught them the verses, the books of the Bible, and she schooled the children, and you know, so they knew Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, but they could go through the entire Bible,
yeah.
And she did. You did a wonderful job with that, Evie.
Well, we had lots of fun, and then we always had the definition of the gospel, which is wonderful that we would teach. But I want to talk a little.
What is the definition?
The definition of the gospel. I have a poem in here, and if I can just put my hand on it. The page, the definition of the gospel. Let's see. Well, I wanted to say a little something about prayer first.
All right, you go
ahead.
I
want you boys and girls to know that there's something we can do that is powerful. We may not be able to go and boycott people, but we can do one thing. We can go right to the throne of grace. If we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says, pray and God will hear and He will answer. We're the only ones who have a God. There are many gods these days. There's only one God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God's only Son, and He came into the world to save us from our sins. And so, but the Lord says, you can talk to me. You can pray. And so, boys and girls, the things are tough. Get to use it. It says prayer is a two-way conversation, not just you talking to God, because God wants to talk back to you through His Word. Prayer is a two-way conversation with Christ, my God. Oh, what a close relation. Do you allow Him to speak in the conversation? Or do you do all the talking to His consternation? Hush. For He longs to share with you some precious thoughts from His Word. 'Tis true. His conversation, right out of His book, He will speak so clearly if only you look. When you claim He spoke to me today, can you show me the Scriptures and what they say? Because He speaks through His Word. Prayer must always God's Word include. Why do we so often His Word elude? If you abide in me and my Word abides in you, means you've got to study the Word. You've got to have it in your head and in your heart. Ask what you will, till be done unto you. My friend, to make a prayer a living reality, a two-way conversation, it must be. You see, God loves to hear your voice. He loves to see your face looking up to Him.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, yeah. Of course, you've been through a lot through the years, and I
yes.
know that God has blessed you and certainly has directed your path for these 93 years.
Yes.
And, you know, the older I become, the more convinced I am that God really does intervene in the affairs of men.
Yes.
And
yes.
things don't always work out exactly as we would like them to, but they work out as He wants them to in our lives. And if we're faithful to Him, no matter how bad things become, no matter what happens, why, He will be there to see us through it. So,
yeah.
So basically, this is a wonderful book that Evie has. And if you're interested in it, it is about 54 pages in length.
Yeah.
And certainly, if you'd be interested in getting a copy, why, they will be. We'll give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and we'll find some way of letting you be able to get that. And, of course, you want to read your last poem for me at 93, The Best Is Yet to Come?
Yes, I'd love to do that. Because, you see, I can't win. I mean, I can't lose.
Right now, you get right there, Steve. Close that old microphone now. You can't.
All right. Yeah, I've got to be right there. All right. And just a moment, I'll have that last page. It says, for me at 93... The best is yet to come. I have that in big
right.
letters.
Right.
Lord Jesus, I know not what lies ahead for me. I daily pray that my path will be ever closer, Lord, to Thee. The future seems so bright. All fear is gone. Jesus keeps me singing a happy song. Even in the darkest night, I look for the dawn. That's the way I ended that book.
And I think that's really what it has to be. We
yeah.
enter into a very, very difficult time. And, of course, our hope is not in what we do.
No.
Our hope is not necessarily even certainly in what... Okay, we'll be back in just a moment with Evie Nichols. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest in studio this evening is Evie Nichols, who I've known for almost half my life. And Evie is a wonderful, wonderful woman who's been an inspiration to many, many people for many years. And, of course, she's put together a wonderful book entitled Heart to Heart with Grandma Evie, and recorded there the poems that she's written over the last 30 years. And for those of you who know Evie, why they're inspirational, and for those of you who don't know Evie, well, if you read her poems, I think you'll have a wonderful, wonderful feeling about a woman who's given her life to the Lord, and the Lord has honored her in return. So let's have a few more that you'd like to, of course, read here. And actually, if you're out across America, you have a question or comment, don't hesitate to give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-829. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And if you have a question, comment, I'd love to hear from you. Go ahead, Evie. What do you have next for us?
Well, I might... There's so many people who are having heartbreaks right now that I know of who have lost their loved ones very suddenly, some after a long illness or an accident. And, you know, it's so heartbreaking, and grief is very real. And I love the fact that the Lord Jesus has said that he came to heal the brokenhearted. And I was brokenhearted, I'll tell you. I felt like my heart was in a million pieces. But God said in his word, I will give you a spirit of joy for mourning. I will give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I used to just claim all those things because I thought, I must do this. But I wanted to just read to you about my darling Doug.
All right,
you
fine.
Knew Doug, didn't
oh,
you?
Oh, I know Doug very well.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
My darling has gone home before me. June 6th, he touched heaven's shore. His face was aglow. He seemed to know when he tried to tell me so. He must have seen the Savior's face because his own was wreathed in smiles. In that brief moment, by God's dear grace, heaven's glory outshone life's trials. Ah, that moment of transfiguration! What balm to my sorrowing heart! Oh God, keep that vision, my consolation. May it never from me depart. I thought God was healing him because he looked like about 19 years old and he was about 79. It helps me so much when I'm lonely just to think of the joy he now shares. Fullness of joy found in heaven only. Oh, the thought.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest in studio this evening is Evie Nichols, and we're talking about a book that she's written entitled A Heart to Heart with Grandma Evie. And it's just a lovely book full of reminiscences of her life, written in poetic form. And I think it certainly is a tribute to a woman who's given her life to the Lord. And the Lord is rewarded by certainly allowing her to have a tremendous impact on the lives of so many people. And through the miracle of radio, why she's been able to reach so many young people in the area where we live. And I do hope that one day why we can make those tapes available to people all across America. Something to give your children, to give them hope. Because ideas have consequences. Good ideas have good consequences. Godly ideas have godly consequences.
Yes.
And evil ideas have evil consequences.
Yes.
And so much of what we're getting out of television today, so much of what our young people are getting in school today, gives them that sense of hopelessness.
Mm.
Well, Evie's teachings and Evie's radio programs and Evie's poems will give you that upward reach towards the Father from whom all blessings come. And give us that hope that will allow us to continue, even
yes.
though the days become long and dark. Go ahead, Evie. What would you like to read next?
Well, I wonder if I should finish that poem, because I started and then we were interrupted.
Well, why don't you start from the very beginning?
All right.
Because, of course, this is Doug, and Doug was Evie's husband, and who I knew went to the church there. And certainly she's reading about his passing. So go ahead and read the poem from this very beginning.
Yes. I would love to share that when Doug was in the hospital, and he was so near dying and going home, and I thought, Lord, please don't let him come home yet, because I won't know how to help him. But if God had answered that prayer, I never would have had the joy that's in this poem. Because I saw his face just absolutely glowing and glowing and glowing, and he's reaching out his arms, and I thought he was reaching for me. But he was reaching for the Lord because he was seeing him. He was so real. And so I just grabbed him and I said, "Oh, I love you, dear." And then with that, he just lay back in my arms and died. It's amazing. But you know, I've never been able to forget that wonderful glow. That was a wonderful thing. God didn't answer that one prayer. Sometimes we pray the wrong prayer. And God is good not to answer every prayer we pray. And I've been thankful for that, because that has helped me all through the years. And I said this, that moment of transfiguration, what balm to my sorrowing heart. Oh God, keep that vision, my consolation. May it never from me depart. It helps me so much when I'm lonely, just to think of the joy he now knows, fullness of joy, found in heaven only. Oh, the thought, how my own heart glows. I shall keep looking unto Jesus, for my beloved is close to him there. When you call me home, Lord Jesus, then heaven's joys with him I shall share. Now, I also want to say something, if I may, at this point. There may be people listening in who do not know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Is it all right for me to say this now?
You're certainly all right for you to say it.
All right. The thing is that you've turned your dial this way tonight. You may never have heard the message of God's love. He loves you so much that he was willing to take your punishment for your sins. Christ, and here's the definition of the gospel found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. I declare unto you the gospel, the Apostle Paul said, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried according to the Scriptures. And according to the Scripture, he rose from the dead to show himself alive, and that he was the only God who could bring himself up out of that grave. And I think of even the Passion play that was so vivid. He was far more marred than that, because they said he wasn't even recognizable as a man. And so he was suffering there willingly. He laid down his life willingly. He said, I lay it down willingly, and I'm going to take it up on the third day. And sure enough, up from that grave he arose. And he arose for you and for me and for our salvation. But to as many as receive him, God gives the right for them to become born again, to become the children of God through faith. And even the faith that you have to have is a gift from God. God says, not by works of righteousness that you have done, but by faith. We're saved by his grace through faith, and that faith is a gift from God, not of works, lest anybody should boast. Isn't that wonderful? And then he says, we're saved unto good works. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to lay down our lives for him if need be. And so, boys and girls, please, if you want to just have the relief of your sins. I was so troubled about my sins as a little girl. No one had ever told me how I could be saved, although I was raised in a Christian family. And in my heart, I heard one day, I don't know if it was my father or whoever said it, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. Don't think you're going to get there by your good works. You're not. God says, not by works, lest anybody should boast. It's a free gift. To as many as receive, and then he said, you're saved unto good works. And God will reward us for the way we serve him. He wants to reward us. But what a joy it is to serve him. I just love it. Every day I go out and I say, Lord, before I go, I'm going to present my body to you, and I'm going to put on that whole armor. In Ephesians 6, it tells us about that armor. And then when we have that armor on, we can resist the enemy, Satan, and he will have to flee from us. So I just, if I'm tempted, I just say, Satan, I'm not on your team. Go. And you know, he doesn't stay around to hear the name of Jesus. He hates that name. And he runs. When you flee, you're getting out of there fast.
And you know, I think it's really so true, Evie, that we are constantly under satanic attack.
Yes.
A lot of people don't understand. They think that it's just normal temptations, but the devil really does want to compromise us.
Yes,
and
he
does. Battle, the great battle that we fight is a battle within our own minds.
Yes,
and
yes.
And we can either give in to our basic instincts, or we can call upon the Lord to strengthen us, and many times it's very difficult on our own to accomplish it. But with God's help, we can. And there's no question at all. And if you actually come under a satanic attack, and I'm sure you have, and you know very well that as a child of God, you have the ability to command the demonic spirit.
Amen.
To leave.
Amen.
And people, I'll never forget the first time when I was running for Congress back in 1988. And I just had this, I was going to be giving a talk to our church I was going to at that time, and I was asked to address it in the evening. And I had this terrible feeling of, unease all during the day. It just didn't feel good. And I remember telling the minister that evening before we began our talk, you know, how I felt. And he said, he says, you're under demonic attack. And he said, you know, as a Christian, you have the ability to command, not in your own power,
your
own authority, but in authority of Jesus Christ, those demonic spirits to leave you alone. And so we prayed together, and of course he commanded those just evil spirits leave. And they did. That feeling of oppression was gone. And through the years, of course, as you become more and more active in this truly spiritual battle that we're fighting for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, I've found myself under demonic attack, and I've remembered very well the lesson that I learned that evening. And that if you call upon the name of the Lord and you demand those demons leave you alone, they will leave you alone, won't they?
He'll run. Satan cannot stand to be around when we use that name. And so I do that every day. As I go out, I pray, Lord, send somebody across my path. You want me to tell that person how much you love him or her. And every day I go to the market, everywhere I go, I have some opportunity to speak to someone. And I say, you know, I prayed for you this morning. And they look so surprised. And I said, about God wanting me to tell you how much he loves you. And they're just, some of them are so thankful. And one guy got out from the grocery store where he was at the cash register, came around and put his arms around me and he said, Evelyn, I want to thank you for telling me today. I needed that. It's funny. And of course, this is very public. And everybody else that's around, I have some very funny experiences that way. I don't know whether we have time to tell one.
Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you, one day we went to a garage sale. It was all beautifully arranged under tents, you know, in this person's yard. I went in and I said to my daughter, honey, look at these clothes. They're brand new. They're like brand new. I said, unfortunately, they're too small for me, too young, too youthful for me. And the owner overheard me say that. And he looked at me and he said, what do you mean, too youthful for you? And I said, well, that's what I mean, is they're too youthful. Well, how old are you anyway? And I don't tell people unless they ask me. And so he said, I do sometimes. And so he said, well, how old are you? And I said, well, how old do you think? Oh, 65. I said, no, you got to go higher than that. And he went up to 71. And I said, no. I said, you need to get glasses. You can't see very well. And then he said, well, how old are you? And I said, I'm 93 in October. He said, go to hell. You can't be 93. I said, I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. What about you? And, you know, he stopped in his tracks, and he looked at me, and I said, you know, God loves you, and he wants to save you. And I said, do you have a Bible? He yelled out to his, hey, do we have a Bible in our house, honey? Do we have a Bible in our house, honey? And she yelled back, of course we do. I said, all right, now I'm going to challenge you. You got a Bible. Would you do something that would save your soul, get you to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, read the Gospel of John? And you could do that in 29 days, one chapter, or even if you want to take longer, but read that Gospel and read it over and over, and God will prove himself that he is God and that you can go to heaven and you can have eternal life. He turned around to me suddenly. He said, you know what? You're an inspiration to me. total change in his attitude. I didn't do anything. It was God. It's always God who does those things. Changed his heart, and he says, I'm going to take you up on that challenge, and I'm going to read. I'll start that tonight. We've got a Bible in our house, and I'm going to start that tonight. I promised you I will do what you suggested that I do. And with that, we had to go. But we had an amazing audience because he was so loud, and everybody stopped and was listening, so they heard the message too. But that was interesting.
Well, I'll never forget. It was a couple of years ago, and then a young man listening to our evening program in Australia, because this program is actually heard all around the world, and he was dabbling into the occult.
Yes.
And we started an email correspondence back and forth, and of course I made the same challenge that you did. I said, start in reading the book of John.
Yeah.
Look and see what Jesus Christ said about himself.
Yes.
And he actually, of course, eventually abandoned his occult ways. The last thing I heard from him, he was going to a Bible school. He was going to become a minister of the gospel.
Oh.
And of course, it wasn't anything that I said. It was
the
word of the scripture. And as they say, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. And if you can't hear it, then of course you can read it.
Yes.
And there's no better place to start in trying to understand what Christianity is all about and the claims that Jesus Christ made for himself.
Yes.
And in the book of John.
You know, it's thrilling. It's amazing how people respond. And not very often. People just are very touched by the fact that I say, I prayed for you this morning because here you are right across my path. And they're very touched, and for the most part, many people are very, and I've had people just make a decision for Christ right in the grocery store, you know, just beside me there. And I said, now God heard what you said, you want to be saved, if you mean that, why don't you just tell him that? And so this one lady just spoke right out and said, oh, that's what I want. I need to know how to be saved. I try to pray with my children. I'm a single mom, and I don't know how. And she said, and I said, well, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? No, I haven't done that, but I want to. I want to. And I said, well, why don't you just tell him right here? And so she didn't ask me how to help her or anything. She said, Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to save me from my sin. Come in and help me with my children. I'll go home and tell them what I've done. And you know, God has these people prepared to come across our path. You know, and so I just trust him moment by moment. Each day of my life I have the joy. And I say, Lord, I don't want to speak to a soul without telling them your name. If I just speak the name of Jesus, there's such power in that name, isn't there?
Amen. And of course, yeah. I know you've touched the lives of thousands and thousands of people through the years. And of course, then through the miracle of radio, I know you've reached many others.
Yeah, that will.
And as you know, if you read the book of John, either Jesus was a liar or a lunatic, or he was who exactly
that's
he said he
right.
was. And
that's
there is no other alternatives. You really don't. You have to decide whether he was not telling the truth, whether he was crazy as a loon, or
yes.
whether he was really the Son of God
yes.
sent to earth to die for man's sin. And when you read his claims, when you realize that the impact of that one life has had on the entire world. In fact, we date our time from the birth of our
That's
Savior.
That's right. Every day they're
saying.
And
you know, when you see the impact that the Word of God has had on so many lives, and
yes.
of course, as you see the prophecies coming to pass at the present time, none of this could have happened by accident.
No.
And especially when you see the attack on Christianity. Why would they bother to spend all their time attacking Christianity
yes.
if it wasn't true?
That's right.
If it didn't offer mankind hope, these people would take away our hope. But, of course, we can't let them do it. And so we should certainly make a point of wishing everybody a Merry Christmas. And if they're on the other side, think yeah. how miserable it's going to make them. On the other hand, perhaps something we say can actually change and transform their lives.
Yes. It's so wonderful. See, we are his messengers. And God calls us in different ways, different areas. Sometimes it's writing a note. Sometimes it's visiting the sick. And they're ready to hear good news. And I believe we have the best news in the whole world to give to men and women, boys and girls, young people. I have dear young people who do love Jesus. And I love the young people. I love all these kids. And I love to see them. In our church, I won't pass them by. In our church, I out in the courtyard, I think, I'm going to speak to every little boy or girl, and sometimes I can win some of those to Christ, and I have. And it's been beautiful. And they're walking with the Lord right now. It's very, very, it's just all of God. You and I cannot take 1 ounce of the glory or the credit, and I don't ever want to do that. Lord, tonight here, may I just say, for me to live is Christ, and to die will be gain, wonderful gain. And how I praise His lovely name for just allowing me to be a part of His mission here upon this earth.
Well, I know that He's used you, and He will continue using you, and I hope for many, many years to come, Evie. Anyway, we're going to be back here, and I'm going to have to wrap up this program this evening. Our guest this evening has been Evie Nichols. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation. Evie's an old friend. Her book, Heart to Heart with Grandma Evie, if you'd like to know more about it, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Well, Evie, we've got just 3 minutes to wrap up the program. So what message would you like to leave with our listeners out across America tonight, out across the world? Because this part of the program is on the Internet. Some of our audience won't hear it, but many people throughout the world listening on by the miracle of the Internet will. So what's the message you'd like to leave?
I would like perhaps to say the message of an old chorus. If you want joy, real joy, then ask Jesus to come into your heart. As we close this program, I pray, Father, that there will be boys and girls, young people, men and women, old as I am, facing death, Lord, and having no hope. I pray that right now they will have the joy of your salvation by opening up their hearts and say, Oh, Lord, save my soul. I'm sorry for my sins. I will turn away from sin. And I will confess my sins daily and hourly if need be, so that I might have the joy of bringing others the same joy that I now enter into. So, Father, as we go off the air, may it just be with the most triumphant sound that Jesus is coming. He's coming again, and we know not whether it'll be today, tomorrow, or what. But, Lord, may we be ready by making this one decision that will change our destiny, and that is to receive the gift of salvation, which is Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. We have a living, risen Lord and Savior who wants to live right in us and never leave us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and I'll be with you to the very end of the age. Isn't that a wonderful promise?
It really is. Mm-hmm. And of course, that really is the thing that gives a life meaning. It gives life hope. And for those people who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, why, life is simply always sort of a feeling that, they're looking something, they're searching for something, and sometimes they try to find it in debauchery or in drugs or in alcohol or in tobacco, or it doesn't matter what it is. But, of course, it's simply searching, but they'll never find it. And actually, the answer is really so simple. It's in the Holy Scriptures, it's in the promise that was made so many years ago, that God so loved the world,
yes,
that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon Him should never perish, but have everlasting life.
Yes. I believe in the sovereignty of God, and I believe that He has, before the foundation of the world, He knew everything that was going to be, and He just loves us to come one by one.
We're out of time, Evie. Good night. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is a much different program than we usually do, but I hope you've enjoyed it, because Evie is a wonderful, wonderful person who loves the Lord and has been an inspiration to all of us who've known her for, as I say, I've known Evie for well over 40 years now. And certainly, if you'd like to get her book, why, of course, you can call us at that number, and we can put you in touch with her. The telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But if you want to learn more about the book, it's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we would hope that many of you out there would think seriously about joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us as we reach out 5 hours a day, trying to make people understand that we are involved in the spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. If you'd like to get in touch with us, again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to go to our website, it's www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. And, of course, you can listen to our regular programs there on the Internet, directly or indirectly, 5 hours a day. You can pull down our newsletters that will help you to understand the true nature of the spiritual battle we're involved in. And I would suggest my newsletters that I believe it's the May and June newsletters of this year that deal with the occult hierarchy. There really is an occult hierarchy that rules the world today. They have a different agenda. They hate Christianity. They hate the God of the Bible. They really believe that they can thwart God's plan for mankind, and they're doing everything they can to undermine that. So if you go to our website at www.radioliberty.com, you can pull down those newsletters, or if you don't have access to the Internet and you'd like to get them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and simply ask for the perhaps the Occult Hierarchy 2 newsletter, and we'll be more than happy to send that to you. But understand that we're telling you about the bad side. The good side is that God does love you. God has a plan for people, but they have to, of course, accept the gift of salvation. The most important gift you'll ever receive is the transforming power of Jesus Christ when he comes into your life. I know when I first accepted the Lord, some 42, 43 years ago, my life was transformed, and I've seen it in the lives of so many of the other doctors I practiced with. Some of them were the most difficult and impossible human beings I ever knew. They were good doctors, but they were just difficult to work with. And when they became Christians, and I'll have to admit that I prayed for a number of these men, and I saw God enter their lives. I saw the transformation that came about them. Truly a miraculous thing. It couldn't have happened by accident. And you really realize that God does work in the affairs of men. So please listen to our programs on a regular basis. We ask you to pray for our leaders, pray for our ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until we're together again, may the Lord be with you.